Welcome to episode 67 of the Golf Talk Podcast. This is Eric Barzeski. Joining me, of course, this week, Jeff Smith in Washington. Hello.
Hello, Eric.
Much to catch up on here. We skipped last week because not much was going on, but much went on since then. We'll jump right into it here. Lorena Ochoa gets the monkey off her back and is now a major winner on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, outstanding win for her. And of course, awesome for her to win at the home of golf, St. Andrews. So she kind of coasted away to this win with a four-shot win.
Right. And she held on to that. She basically shot 6 under on the first day. They played it as a par 73. We'll talk about that briefly later. But she shot a 67 on the first round. Two even par rounds of 73 following that, and then a 74 in the final round. Basically, she didn't have a chance to choke. She was, you know, 6 shots ahead, 3 shots ahead, 8 shots ahead at pretty much every point in the championship. So I guess that's the way to do it if you're going to win your first and you keep choking kind of down the stretch in a few of the other ones.
Yeah, well, she didn't go out there and shoot a 78 or anything. So, you know, she kind of held on to it. Obviously, one over par isn't what she was shooting for on the final day. But great win for her and monkey off her back. We all kind of expected this. She's been knocking on the door for a while now. So really natural for her to win.
Well, for someone that tends to go left under pressure, the old course is certainly the place to win your first, too, because left is the other holes. So you're doing okay, right?
It is a links course, she had the little room there.
Yeah, you can tug it 50 yards left on the first or 18th hole, and you're just in the other hole, you know?
Yeah.
Still in the fairway.
Yeah.
So good for her. But the 17th played as a par 5 for the women, despite the fact that some were hitting 7 or 8 irons in, and then some were hitting 4 hybrids or 3 hybrids in some of the practice rounds, depending on the wind. Again, par is a relative number, I think, and it was a bit silly to say, oh, let's make it a par 5. Ochoa, of course, would have finished at 1 under par had it been played as a par 4, so does it really matter?
I'm not so sure it does matter. What I think is odd is that it actually played as a par 73. I mean, how many times do we see that on any tour?
Right.
So that's kind of a weird number.
The women golf unions that play rounds at St. Andrews play it as a par 73. They do play the 17th as a par 5, but these are the LPGA players, not your average club woman, average, you know, 6 handicap woman golfer. So a little funny there. Some other players to finish in the top, although at least 5 shots behind or 4 shots back. Riley Rankin, who we never hear about very much, but a good American player. Sayre Puk dumped a ball in the burn fronting the first hole, finished at 1 over par, and then had to get a rules official. That's a little too much for me. It's a water hazard, lady. Come on. Paula Creamer, T7. So who becomes now the best woman golfer not to win a major? Lorena, obviously, no longer in that category. Is it Paula Creamer, or is she overrated?
I don't know. Is there a standout here? I mean, is there someone, you know, a lot of talk was going on about Paula Creamer.
Right.
And Gulbis, of course. I don't know if she's the best at one of these Asian players.
Heck, it could be Michelle Wee. It isn't. Because, I mean, I'm going to put Paula Creamer ahead of her, but Michelle Wee, of course, shot 73 the first round, then 80 to miss the cut by 2 or so. Not a good week for her, but, you know, certainly last year she was the best player without a major. She finished, you know, not outside the top 4 in any of the majors last year or so. So
right.
Paula Creamer may be up there, and maybe one of the Koreans you mentioned. But, yeah, like I said, Morgan Pressel removed herself from consideration earlier this year, and so did Lorena Ochoa. So, and Christy Kerr, 3 first-time winner majors.
Yeah, which is awesome. I mean, you know, again, they went out there and removed themselves from that list, and, you know, we're sitting here as commentators, and we don't really know what to say. So, I mean, you know, they've been absolutely removed from that. And, of course, Michelle Wee, of course, has removed herself in a different way from that discussion by her poor play. So who is it? Paula Creamer, maybe?
Maybe. They say beware the injured golfer. Well, you have to also beware of the insulted tiger, and also mind the saying horses for courses or courses for horses, whichever way you want to say it, because Tiger Woods kind of put a stamp on things on Sunday, coming from a 1-shot deficit to win his 6th event at Firestone, the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. Shot a 65 in the final round when most of the leaders, I think at one point the final groups were 24 over par and Tiger Woods was 4 under or something like that at one point. So yeah. it was a little bizarre, but really put a stamp on it. And we'll talk about Rory Sabatini later. A good time to get your game back in form, because when we saw him at the British Open, he was pretty sloppy.
Yeah, pretty sloppy. I mean, how many times have we seen this repeat itself? You know, Tiger wins 7 in a row to kind of finish out last season, to begin this season. Just is on this phenomenal tear. He doesn't quite make it in the majors, but he's close, apart from the British. So everyone's saying, you know, is this the Tiger that can he close anymore? And then, you know, off he goes. season and overcomes in the final round a one-shot deficit to be, you know, basically the player that we know he is. Man, he's outstanding. I mean, he's still, and I don't think that we need this up and down kind of, is Tiger still Tiger Woods? Well, of course he is. He continues to prove that.
I mean, he still won four times this year. He still finished second in a couple of majors playing bad golf.
Yeah. So.
Tiger certainly hasn't struggled this year. He's just struggled in some key moments where one shot better would have gotten him.
You know? Well, and I think my two cents with Tiger is his tempo. I think his tempo, and they mentioned the same thing again in the coverage this past weekend. I think it was maybe Faldo, that his tempo to me looked really smooth and buttery most of the weekend. And that, I think, makes a huge difference when he just plays within himself.
Seems to be. I mean, we sit here every week thinking, that can't be it. Hey, give me a couple million bucks instead of Hank Haney.
Right.
It seems to be at least maybe a cause of something else. So Tiger Woods has increased his lead in the world golf rankings to, he has 20.50 points. Jim Furyk in second is at 8.98. Of course, Jim Furyk may miss PGA this week. He may withdraw because he still has some pain in his neck. The pain in the neck maybe is not Phil Mickelson, but anyway. I mean, Justin Rose, Rory Sabatini, Peter Lonnard, Chris DeMarco, Tim Clark, Davis Love, Andres Romero, talk about him a little bit, Scott Verplank, Justin Leonard, Zach Johnson, KJ Choi, Kenny Perry. Those are your top 11 guys. A good list of players up at the top. The not so good list of players was playing at the Reno Tahoe Open, and Steve Flesch pretty much led wire to wire and walked away with a win. I like Steve Flesch. He's a lefty. I said when he's done playing the PGA Tour, he wants to try to get his amateur status back as a right-handed player. He still gets his FedEx Cup points, and he still gets his two-year exemption and stuff, but his third career win in an event that nobody really cared about. Sorry, Steve.
Do I have anything to say about this? I'm not sure if I do.
You beat up on some, you know, just barely better than Nationwide Tour players. So
yeah, the Reno Tahoe Open might be misnamed. The Reno Tahoe Second Thought.
I like Steve and all, but and good for you for winning. But Charles Warren, Kevin Stadler. Hey, Kevin Stadler finished tied for second. Maybe he'll keep his tour card this year or something.
I do.
Rory Sabatini, of course, after losing to Tiger, despite having a one-shot lead at the Wachovia Championship, said Tiger was more beatable than ever, which struck many as a bit of an audacious comment. It struck me as a stupid comment because Tiger had pointed out that he'd won 9 of 12 and three times that year already. You know, kind of a dumb thing to say at the time when you just look at the fact that Tiger's won a bunch, you know. He did struggle at the Wachovia, but he still managed to get it done and win. Rory shot 74 or 75 or something. So that comes back up again because Rory has a one-shot lead going into the final round of the WGC Bridgestone, and Tiger kicks his butt again. Now, see, and I like guys being honest. So I don't mind Rory saying, hey, Tiger struggles from time to time like we all do. I'd like to, you know, if I play my best, I think I can beat him. I see he didn't play great today, but he still managed to get things done. So that's respectable. But if I had shot 69, I would have won as well. And, you know, I shot 66 earlier this week, so I know I can do it. Something like that would have been fine. Honesty's fine, but you can't be totally immune to facts.
Like the fact that Tiger's quite a bit better than Rory Sabatini, for instance.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, you know, if you're gonna talk like this, you know, you really got to back it up. I mean, we don't see a lot of smack talking, trash talking in golf simply because most people know that it's not smart, and Sabatini is made to look like a fool.
Right.
And whenever he gets waxed after saying stuff like this.
Right. And of course, Rory Sabatini, then the news came out later in the week that actually late Sunday or Monday that he had a fan kicked off the course because the fan said to him on the ninth hole, hey, Rory, still think Tiger's beatable. Not exactly making the all-time list of, you know, big insults. And yet he has this, you know, this guy removed and it's some fireman and he was escorted out of the premises and he had to leave. So now I was all set to condemn Rory and, you know, I think that one act is dumb. I think Rory should shut up and, you know, if you're gonna speak your mind, you're gonna get some feedback on that.
Other people are gonna speak their mind.
Yeah, someone that was there said the crowd was in, a friend of mine that was at the tournament said the crowd was incredibly rude to Rory all day. They yelled in his backswing. They were saying all kinds of bad things. So this might have been like the straw that broke the camel's back. The comment in and of itself was not, I don't think, a bad thing per se. You know, the fact that Rory reacted to it that way is only gonna mean he gets increased frequency of things like that happening to him. If he had been able to just ignore it all day or whatever, whatever, people would be like, okay, we can't really get to the guy. But as soon as you get to the guy, that just all that does is increase, you know, the number of times it's going to happen. So he's making a bet, and he's going to have to lay in it for a long time.
Well, his comment didn't endear fans to him. It just made him look a little arrogant. I mean, you know, we had mixed comments following what he said here. I mean, we kind of said, well, on the one hand, you know, it was a little brash given the fact that Tiger will probably wax him, which he has done. And yet at the same time, he's being honest. So
yeah, I can't blame him for that. Like I said, I can blame him for just not having his facts anywhere near reasonable. So
yeah,
that about does it for the first section. We'll be right back after with some more major talk and some more other talk, a bunch of people winning stuff. So we'll be right back after this message from Titleist. Stay tuned.
7 years ago in Las Vegas, Nevada, the Titleist Pro V1 made its professional debut.
I won with it the first time I put it in play.
It was an instant phenomenon. Number one on every worldwide professional tour. Number one with PGA professionals, with collegiate players, top amateurs, men, women, and juniors.
Seems like everybody plays a Pro V1.
The Pro V1 became the uncontested standard of performance. And best-selling ball in golf shops everywhere.
It's my number one seller, by far.
Nothing else comes close.
Now there's an all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
I won the first time I put it in play.
Pro V1X does what I wanted to do.
The Pro V1X gives me better distance control.
I love the new alignment line.
It gives me more confidence.
The new Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X. Better than ever.
And welcome back. Tom Watson continued his winning ways overseas by winning the British Open, the Senior British Open, of course. Nick Faldo held the lead in the first and possibly the second round. I forget. I'm getting old myself. Watson, you know, wins his third Senior Open in 5 years and, of course, won, I think, five when he was not 50 or older. Five on the PGA Tour, the actual Open Championship. So he must like it over there.
He loves it, and he plays so well. I mean, it's great to see, and it really is remarkable the amount of wins that he's, you know, seemed to rack up on that side of the pond.
Didn't watch a whole lot of it, but certainly redeems himself for falling apart at the U.S. Senior Open a couple of weeks ago at Whistling Straits. So good to see Tom get back on the winning horse there. Jim Furyk, we haven't talked much about him because he hasn't won much lately. You know, I've kind of tagged him as not being able to close the deal this year. He's been in playoffs. He's been near the lead on the weekend and hasn't closed the deal, but it closed the deal on the weekend at the Canadian Open, which was also the site of his last win last year. But last year it was in September or October, so didn't quite go a full year between wins. But, you know, I get the feeling with Jim Furyk that this guy has a lot more than one major in him, and he's running out of time before he's got to win more frequently. He has 8 top tens this season and has closed it out one time to win. Like I said, been in a playoff. That's certainly a great win. I'm not going to take anything away. Hurt himself afterwards, which again, he may pull out of the PGA because of that. I pulled out of the Bridgestone because of a neck injury. He played well. I don't know. I feel like Jim Furyk doesn't quite reach his potential.
Well, I think
this year especially.
You know, he's a nibbler. I mean, he just kind of nibbles away at the golf course, and he's straight down the middle, not particularly long. And I think you kind of see that sort of record, you know, since he joined the PGA Tour. He's had that kind of a win here, a win there. He's not a flashy player. He's not going to put up 4 wins in a year. So I don't know if we can expect Jimmy Furyk to, you know, to put up really big numbers. I think he's got a major or two left in him. Obviously, it might be a U.S. Open, and it might even be a Masters should it play like it did this year. You got to get like Zach Johnson pulling
one
that.
One can hope not. I mean, I like I said back then, I like Zach Johnson, but let Augusta be Augusta.
Well, yeah, that's a different
Topic altogether.
I mean, if Augusta is going to become the U.S. Open, then you know, he's going to win there,
right?
Or could.
Of course, Jim Furyk won the Canadian Open this year on a different course than it was played on last year. The Canadian Open was staged at one course for a couple of years in a row, but now they're rotating it around. So he defends his title, but on a totally different course that Davis Love redesigned and then decided not to play. So Canadians not so happy with Davis Love III right now.
Yeah, whoops.
Andres Romero, we remember him from the Open Championship where he hit a 2-iron out of pretty much the worst lie I may have ever seen at the British Open and put it out of bounds across the 18th hole and then bogeyed the last hole. Wins the next time out. He plays in the Deutsche Bank Players Championship and won on the European Tour. That's a big event for them. It's like our Players Championship. He gets a 5-year exemption on the European Tour.
Yeah, well, he really made the British Open exciting. I mean, he was just throwing up some obscene numbers there.
I think 10 birdies and an eagle.
Yeah, I mean, it was unreal. And then, of course, to have that collapse, a little pressure there. You know, you called it a choke. Obviously, a 2-iron from thick rough. I certainly wouldn't do that. Of course, I don't even carry a 2-iron. What is a 2-iron anyway? But, you know, he comes back and has an outstanding win. And he played well even, you know, he's played well here for the last 3-4 weeks. We've seen a lot.
A 2-iron is a hybrid that doesn't work very well.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of thin then.
Good to see Andres Romero win, and certainly a 5-year exemption would be cool. I think he's 13th or something in President's Cup points, and I think he may have moved up with his high finish at the WGC. So in 3 weeks, he may have gotten himself on the President's Cup team. So be interesting. He'd be exciting to watch, because with the birdies and bogeys that guy makes, it'd be some interesting golf. Interesting golf was played at the Evian Masters. Michelle Wee finished 69th. She made the cut. Good for her. But this news is substantial because...
because no longer is Natalie Gulbis the Anna Kournikova of golf. She's got to win.
She's got to win. Natalie Gulbis winning her first. The Evian Masters is not a major, despite being called the Evian Masters. But it is a fairly big tournament on the LPGA Tour. A lot of the gals go over. Nifty little course. And Natalie Gulbis gets it done. She birdies the first hole in a playoff to get it done, the par 5 18th. Quite impressive. I mean, she was in control all day. She played the most consistent. I watched the final round. A lot of the women were falling apart. Julie Inkster was in the lead for a long time, sometimes by 2 shots. Kind of fell apart. A veteran, you wouldn't expect that. Natalie Gulbis gets done. And she does so away from her father. I'm pretty sure her father didn't travel to France. Probably not his kind of people over there. They have class and dignity and bathe more frequently than he does. But...
is that possible? They certainly shave more than he does.
That's right. So that may be the key. I mean, he's nuts. So if he wasn't there, that may have been a big plus for her.
That's right. Well, it's a great win. And, you know, one we've kind of expected for a while. So she's got the monkey off her back. Now, you know, some will say, well, it's time for her to win a major. We're not so sure that she's ready for that.
Well, it may be. I mean, this may be the kind of thing that springboards her. Some people are calling, hey, maybe she could win at St. Andrews. She didn't, of course. But she missed a lot of 5-foot putts on the way coming home. I mean, even just a few, like one for par, I think, on 17 or something like that. But just a lot of short putts. So I think that hammy putter style may still need some improvements or some more practice before she becomes a consistent winner. But like I said, once you get the monkey off your back, you never know. Maybe he'll springboard you. Lorena Cho got the major monkey off her back. She may win all 4 next year, for all we know.
Yep.
So American Express has declined Tiger Woods' credit card renewal and is dumping him as a spokesperson. American Express signed the PGA of America, not the PGA Tour, of course, but the PGA of America. Tiger and American Express both agreed not to renew discussions or his contract. So,
What's more compelling there, the PGA of America or Tiger Woods? But
Since most everyone thinks the PGA of America is the PGA Tour.
So, right. Thanks for clearing that up for me.
Yeah. Tim Fincham is not involved with the PGA of America.
Strangely enough.
Hopefully he's getting involved with drug testing. He said by the end of the year, and we're running out of time here, Tim.
He's doing his best. These things take time. You know, we don't want people being thrown off the PGA Tour for using nasal spray.
Right. Well, I saw that the LPGA put a list of banned substances out there, and it's long. You know, I'm scrolling down in my browser for quite a while. A lot of the drugs are related to each other and just have slightly different names because they're slightly different chemical compositions, but very similar. But it's a long list. And, you know, some of them say, you know, you're going to want to check with a doctor who's very familiar with this list, because otherwise they may prescribe something that contain some of these things. It's not a legitimate reason. So there'll be some head scratching over that list that the LPGA is putting out there, because again, if you're actually prescribed something by a legitimate doctor that isn't like working for Balco, then what are you supposed to do? You have the risk of, you know, being kicked off or trying to explain yourself versus, you know, whatever illness you have, you know, manifesting in some bad way.
Well, this is the legitimate doctor clause, where they need to accept the pink slip that says, I'm taking this, you know, so that I won't have a heart problem, or I'm taking this because I need it for such and such. It's right. It's a sticky one, because these guys are going to have to be very careful, more careful than they're used to being.
That was not necessarily included in the list of topics, but happy to get to it. And Tim, get on the horse here and get that list out, because certainly everyone will be interested in seeing what's on it, including the number one player in the world, Tiger Woods. So yeah, both number one players winning this weekend for the men and the women.
That's right.
That about does it for episode 67 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you again by thesandtrap.com. Check out our show notes every Wednesday at thesandtrap.com. Join our forum at thesandtrap.com/forum. Have a little chat with us about whatever you want to talk about. hey, we may mention it in the podcast next week. For Jeff Smith, this is Eric Brzezinski saying hasta la vista. And oh, wait, very quickly, your PGA Championship prediction, Jeff.
Oh, well, do I have free reign here to pick whoever I want this week?
Okay, so we're both picking Tiger. So who would you pick second? I wasn't going to pick him, but his performance Sunday tipped the scales. You know, if he's playing that well, I got to go that way. But if we hadn't picked him, if he had shot 80 on Sunday, who would you have picked?
If I hadn't picked him, I certainly wouldn't have picked Phil Mickelson. I'm certainly not going to pick Ernie Els. Patty Harrington? Is it crazy to pick him again?
Maybe. Hunter Mahan would be possibly my pick. He has Oklahoma experience. He's good at driving the ball, and I think Southern Hills is going to be a good test of driving. So that's my pick, besides Tiger Woods. But again, we'll talk to you next week, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.